This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, there's this starchy thing on your porch.
Ew.
New babies.
We are all gonna die today.
Back to the Future is here.
Why we name things the way we do.
No Loki.
Recommentals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's the Mickey Mouse talking phone.
Hi, this is Mickey Mouse.
Mickey, come over for a party. You call Tom Deck.
Okay.
With the Mickey Mouse talking phone, the battery is not included.
This is Donald Duck.
It's Donald. Come on over.
With a Mickey Mouse talking phone, you can call 6 different Disney characters.
Yup, you guessed it. I'm Goofy.
Hi, Goofy.
Mickey Mouse talking phone from Hasbro's preschool division.
Don't ever do that to me again.
The morning stream.
Greetings, Earth Lady. May I interest you in some guacamole? This is the Morning Stream.
Oh, hello, everybody. We're back. It's the Morning Stream. It's Wednesday, the 7th of October, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
You
happy
know,
Wednesday to you.
Listen, man, I hope it's a happy Wednesday because we got news later that it may not be a great Wednesday.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know. It could be the last Wednesday.
Well, some think so. We'll investigate, see how accurate the claims might
be. Coming up, like this could be the very last Wednesday ever.
Yes. We hope you enjoy Recommentals. It's the last one you'll get. Real quick here. Quick comment. Quick thing to say. I don't understand how the Mickey Mouse phone thing.
Yes. Oh, my God. That is something that... That come over to my house for a party. That is like ingrained in my brain. And yeah. As soon as it came up, I'm like, oh my God, it's that kid.
It's like Mike, you'll eat anything stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. But also, I don't understand how it's a, this never occurred to me before, but I don't understand how it's a feature to say, with the Mickey Mouse phone, batteries are not included. Like the way they say that, they make it sound like a good thing. Like, hey, only with this phone, you don't get any damn batteries.
Right, yeah.
I don't get that. Why would that be a feature and not a problem?
I always couldn't understand why they felt like they had to explain that everything was sold separately. Like, when you were buying Mr. T, yeah. You would not automatically get the face or
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama?
You know, he pities the fool.
That's not. How come there's no cartoon? There's got to be. Somebody's got to. Has to have done that. Well, B.A. Barack Obama.
In 2015, if that doesn't exist, I'd be shocked. And like before the show, we were talking about whether something called YouTube existed, and it totally does.
Everything exists. Now that the internet and everybody can create everything and make it available for everybody else, everything officially exists.
So I just searched for B.A. Obama just to see. Uh-huh. And the images show...
It's got to be somebody who's made a little Mr. T haircut on him.
Right, like a little mohawk. It's got to be. I don't see it yet. Maybe we stumbled onto something. You never know. Huh. No, it has to exist. I just don't believe this doesn't exist. It has to. I'm doing it wrong somehow.
I'm not sure how you search for it because you can't really search for BA without just getting everything that includes the letters BA in it.
All right, how about...
There we go. So Mr. Crow in the chat room already found one. It is a Barack Obama... As Mr. T with the haircut.
That's exactly it.
It's exactly what we described. It exists.
Yep. Not only
you
is
name
it...
something, this could be a fun game. You name something, and we'll find out if it exists.
All right, let's do it right now.
Random things jumbled together, and it exists.
Okay, give me two. Do it. Let's do it. Let's try it. Give me two names, just out of the blue. Give me any name you want.
Ice cream.
Okay.
Calliope.
How do you spell Calliope? This is
not a good example because it's not like punny or clever or.
I don't know what I'm looking at. Ice cream Calliope shows a bunch of Asian people.
Well,
and
it's probably who invented it.
And, right? and a logo for Australian Crime Commission. So I don't know what's happening. So maybe that's a bad example. How about this one? Give me okay. We'll have some rules. Give me a famous person's name.
All right. Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson. Very random. I like it.
Sure.
Now give me a random food item.
Okay, I'm not going to give you the first one that came to mind, cucumber, because I'm really worried about what you might find.
Oh, yeah, that's bad on the internet.
Let's say a random food item. Let's say tiramisu.
I don't know how to spell that. We keep giving me hard to spell words. Well, how do you spell tiramisu?
T-I-R-A.
Misu.
M-I-S-U.
Okay.
Another J. Martin, by the way, found an ad for a brand of ice cream called Calliope Ice Cream.
Oh, all right. Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He just sent the logo for Calliope Ice Cream.
Okay, proves the point, doesn't it? I think that proves the point. Chat room is probably our best bet for all of this. Okay, all I see is either a photo of Kate Hudson or a photo of tiramisu.
The two never together.
No.
Holy cow, you never see tiramisu and Kate Hudson in the same place at the same time.
It's like a Clark Kent Superman kind of thing.
I smell conspiracy.
Weird. All right, anyways. Okay, I got something to tell people. I don't know what to think about this. I'm still a little bit confused. And right before the show started, the doorbell rang again, and it made me jump a little because what's going on here? So yesterday, I was alone at the time. Kids and wife were at $5 Tuesdays at the movie theater. I think they were seeing The Martian again. Or yeah, they were seeing The Martian.
Okay.
And the kids hadn't seen it yet. So they were seeing The Martian, and they had some friends with them having a good time. They don't have school today. There's some kind of weird PTA thing at Nick's school, and Carter's only class she has on Wednesdays got canceled. We don't know why. So, again, conspiracy. So they're all gone last night, and I had a big chunk of time to get a bunch of work done, and I'm kind of doing my stuff, and the doorbell rings. Bing bong! I'm not far from where that is because I'm on my notebook in the kitchen. I think, you know what? I'll just run to the door and see what's up. See who's here.
Sure,
who wants Scott Johnson at this hour? What could they need?
Who finally tracked you down?
Yeah, what could it be? So I go to the front door, open it up. It's really not much time has passed. There's nobody there. I figured, well, someone's just ditched us, right? Doorbell ditched
right,
us.
Ding,
no
dong,
big deal.
Ditch.
I look down and there is a shriveled, older, don't eat it now because it's gone past its expiration date potato laying there. A fully skinned potato with all its skin on, just a potato, but one that clearly had seen better days. It was a little wrinkled
up. It's a Mark Whatley potato.
Yes.
After the
man
poop. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to give it anything. Spoiler. Shoot, we almost did it. Hasn't even been 2 weeks. but it was like not a normal potato, like a round potato, but like a long... you know how some, what are those potatoes that are long and tapered on each end?
Sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes, I guess. But it didn't, wasn't orange or brightly colored. Well, I guess those aren't orange. Anyway, maybe whatever.
Paula Deen was stopping by.
Yeah, making love to her tater and then left it there.
That was her, she was done with that tater.
Ew. So it's laying there on the porch, and I went down and I picked it up and looked at it. It's just a potato. There's nothing weird about it. It didn't, like, you know, explode.
Didn't have
or
a note on it saying you're next.
No, it didn't do any of that. It didn't do any of that. And I threw it away, and I thought, all right, and I cannot get it out of my head now. So I need theories. I need people to try to explain to me. Like, okay, let's go with theory number one. It's a bunch of teenagers dorking around and doorbell ditching people. Why a potato? Can you explain that? They didn't throw it at the house. They didn't, like, break
it
apart.
Well, you know, eggs are kind of destructive.
Okay.
Bags of poop, you know, somebody maybe wanted to prank you and maybe not do anything as destructive as a flaming bag of poop or an egg.
I guess so, but also the way it was laid at the tape or at the porch was laid perfectly parallel with the door. Like, it wasn't haphazardly chucked. Somebody reached down and laid it there and then took off.
Listen, I'd say if we were as big and popular as we'd like the world to think we are from all of our many podcast awards, I would say it's somebody whose designs are only to get on this show, to get mentioned, to hear this very story.
Okay, that really weirds me out then, if that's the case, because that's even weirder.
I think that would be the case if we were like a Marc Maron or a Leo Laporte. I bet Leo Laporte gets potatoes left on his doorstep all the time.
Oh, I think so too. I'll bet they're... I bet sometimes they'll show up. Oh, never mind.
But MC stuff. Hammer. MC Hammer gets potatoes left on his doorstep all the time.
What? And then with a little note on it that says, can't touch this? That'd be great.
Right.
That'd be something else.
You just got spudded, dude. You got spudded.
So the chat room, you know, they're throwing around some theories. If anyone else out there listening has a thought as to why I got a potato. To me, this is as mysterious as the fart gas or the explosive tip people.
Sure.
I don't really know what's going on.
You got tubered.
Yeah, I got tubered. You got tubered, man.
You so got tubered. Let's actually make this a thing to where, you know, it catches on and we're the people who start it because we have documented proof that we came up with this.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Should pick somebody
in your neighborhood, grab a potato. They're cheap.
Yeah.
They're an easy thing to leave. And then put a sticky note, a post-it note on the potato that says, "You've been tubered."
You've been tubered. I love this idea. It's Halloween. It's
a great time. And take a photo of the potato on the porch.
Yeah, dude. We've done it.
And tweet it. Mm-hmm. Hashtag you got tubered.
Yep.
And I will pick a random person who used that hashtag. And give them a prize. What the hell?
I will too. I have some cool stickers or something to send.
Yeah.
Dude, I love this idea. This is a great idea. All right. Good job, everybody.
You've been tubered.
I feel better about this already because we've turned it into something. Otherwise, I would just be perplexed and frustrated. I just really was weirded out by it. And I said to Nick, you know, does anyone know who that would have been? No idea, Dad.
Right.
So they don't know. And they were with the friends they hang out with that are local around here. They were all together at the theater. This is the great thing about Tuesdays down at that big theater. It's all $5 for tickets.
For first run movies?
Yeah, for anything. And they only do it that day. The rest of the week, it's like, you know, $8.50 or whatever it is. But you and I, when we grew up, that was like Friday night normal price.
That was the price for every movie. Yeah.
I'm starting to be able to say that now, that movies were so much less expensive when I was a kid. And then Saturday matinees for you and me, because this is basically like their version of a matinee. They don't really do those anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You and I would have paid like $2 back in the day. Oh, man. Remember that.
I remember sitting in the theater at the Wadsworth. It was the Lakeshore Twin. Because remember, there were theaters that only had two screens in them back in those days.
Oh, yeah. Megaplex meant nothing. Those words meant nothing to us. There was
right.
no such
oh,
thing.
Oh, yeah, right. Megaplex meant two theaters.
Yeah.
One of them was showing Star Wars because it was 1978 when they brought the movie back into theaters to try and make a little more money, right?
Yeah,
so it did its initial run
in
77, then came back in 1978. And it was the summer of 78, and I sat in the theater and never left for the entire day. I brought a sandwich.
Oh.
And watched, and you know how much it cost to get in. I feel so bad because, like, it was only $1. It was Buck Tuesdays or Buck Wednesdays or something like that.
That's amazing.
I paid $1 and I sat in that theater all day long, and in between showings of Star Wars, I played Wildfire Pinball, like that little handheld pinball game that had the LED lights on it.
Dude,
do you remember Wildfire Pinball?
Yes, you're killing me with this. This sounds so great. Everything about your story sounds so great.
An entire day, and they would come in, and they'd sweep up, and there was never more than like 8 people in the theater at any given time anyway.
Oh,
so,
my gosh. This is heaven on earth, is what you're
describing.
It
was packed, but...
A dollar. Think about all that you're saying.
I know, a dollar. Right?
A dollar to see a movie. Yeah, a time when you and I had an entire Saturday to do nothing but this.
Wednesday, even. This was middle of the week business.
Oh, my gosh. Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm filled with nostalgia. If nostalgia was a real thing, you could leak it from me right now and sell it on the black market for $5. That's amazing.
I miss my Wildfire pinball machine. That thing was awesome.
You don't still have it, I guess.
I bet somewhere I do. I'll bet it's in a box.
Oh, that'd be great, dude.
Because I found my Merlin a few years ago, too. And
all my stuff from when I was a kid, gone. My parents, when they moved, or my dad died, or my mom sold the house or whatever, all that stuff just disappeared.
My parents did that with an entire box, like a big Carlo Rossi. Was that the big wine?
You could
get the jugs of wine,
right?
The big crate thing, right? And it was a box that held like six big bottles of Carlo Rossi wine that I turned into my Micronauts storage. And they got rid of that thing. They just gave it away.
All those Micronauts. Did you talk about Micronauts with such loving care these days?
Biotron and Microtron and the three little alien dudes and Wing Command. Oh, my God. There was so many great
times. That makes me sick. It really does. I don't know, man. Those are good times. Those are great times. Let's never forget. All right, everyone?
Yeah.
Never forget. Put a potato on your neighbor's yard to celebrate. All right? What else is happening? Oh, I appear to be kind of locked up. Why am I locked up?
Oh, my God.
I hope not, because I want that story to live forever.
I'm going
to
give you one little thing that's going to make it live for just a tiny bit longer.
Okay.
Here is the 30-second, in Skype, is the 30-second Parker Brothers Wildfire Pinball commercial. And when you hear the noises this thing makes, you'd be like, I so remember this piece of crap.
Well, the problem with that is I can't click it. Here we go. All right, we're back. Sorry, everybody. That was a small glitch, and people at home have no idea because I just fixed it, so it's fine.
Okay.
So, Brian, you sent a link. I want to look at this real fast.
All right.
Yep. It's
and it harkens back to a day when Parker Brothers try to they show people playing the game and they give them little one word snippets that they think are going to catch on, like pretty sneaky sis and stuff like
that. Oh, those kind. I love that. Those yes. Those are good times. All right, well, let's play this here.
It's Wildfire.
It's kind of quiet.
Electronic pinball game that's pinball fun for most everyone.
Hey, beat that score.
Wildfire's three speed ball of light.
Speed it up.
Bumps off bumpers, flips off flippers. Flip too fast, you might lose it.
Tilt.
Wildfire keeps score for up
to oh, she's so embarrassed.
Tilt. You're going to suck
it's
in bed.
Fun for most everyone.
Bonus points.
Wildfire from Parker Brothers.
Every one of those is repeatable.
Yeah.
All right, Brian.
Tilt.
That one's going into the gotta capture for commercials at some point. Capture this. That's fantastic.
All right, great.
All right, we're going to call. Oh, quick congratulations, by the way. John Wilson Emil is new to the world. Brand new baby born to Jessica
Immel,
and her husband.
Yeah.
Is it Immel?
Immel, yeah. Jessica and Kim Immel.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook and just real happy for him. So congratulations, fellow Tadpooler. Welcome to the world. May your parents be fine examples of what podcast to listen to in the morning. All right. Let's call Daryl.
All right. Poor Daryl's probably like off into a comptroller meeting or something.
Yeah, he's got to meet with Linda from accounting, build the comptroller.
She take over for Janice?
Yeah. Well, I've heard.
Janice took too many sandwiches from the break room, from the fridge in the break room.
Makes sense to me. Here's your theme. Whoop. Nope. Here's your theme. It is Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Listen to A Dad's View podcast. A Dad's View is a fun look at parenting from A Dad's View. Because you've been a parent as long as she has, women are banned from listening, so be honest here. I can't understand what I just read. A Dad's View podcast. This is a safe place. Find us on Facebook.
That's great.
I think I read that wrong. I think that was supposed to be... Because you've been a parent as long as she has, women are banned from listening, so be honest here. Oh, gotcha. Okay. So
he said woman, but he meant woman. Women.
Yeah. So women are banned from listening. So in other words, feel free to say anything you want about women on A Dad's View podcast.
Women are banned from listening so be honest here.
I love this.
Yeah, it's great.
I hope people listen because it I did not do it justice.
Yeah, I like it. A Dad's View. That's what you're looking for there. Daryl, are you there?
Yes.
Speaking of a dad with a view.
A Daryl's view.
Yeah, a Daryl's view. Daryl's the Trek nerd, comes on the show, answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek, and here he is today to do the very same, the self-same that I just mentioned. Daryl, I've been watching The Next Generation again. I started this time with season 3. I leaped right over 1 and 2 for obvious reasons. 1 and 2 are not great. They're okay. They have their moments. But man, 3 really kicked it off, man. 3 is great. I forgot how good 3 got and how quick it got good. So really enjoying that. I think part of it is Wesley has kind of grown up now. He's 17 or 18 trying to get to the academy, and he's not being such a wiener all the time. I think that's a big part of that. Also, all their clothes are like the nice pants and the not tucked in. Like no one's wearing a onesie anymore.
Right.
So that's good. Yeah. And Riker has a beard on the permanent. Anyway. Daryl, we're gonna throw a question at you. Here it is. The Next Generation episode, The Loss, is our subject. Janet Brooke is telling Counselor Troy that she is over the death of her husband. Troy knows Janet is not really over his death. Janet says she has nothing left to remember her husband, and she told them to get rid of everything after the funeral. Troy gives her an item that they didn't get rid of. What object does Deanna Troy give to this Janet person? Was it A stuffed animal? B, a music box. C, a framed photograph. Or D, a book. So stuffed animal, music box, framed photograph, or book.
Huh.
Them's your options.
Okay.
Think real hard. And while you do, God damn it. Where's my
phone? Why does Troy have something from this guy?
I don't know either.
That's well, I'm rereading this thing because...
It's weird, right?
Right. Like, here's something that belonged to your husband that you don't have.
Yeah.
He died, but I have it.
She must get all the stuff from the people that die. And
on the ship?
Out.
Oh, maybe.
she's a counselor and hoarder remediation.
There it is. All right, I'm going to play this for you now.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
I'm worried about Daryl with this particular bottle of the final
really?
Pickles. Yeah,
because of the flavor?
Yeah, I think he's going to hate it, but I don't know. I haven't really enjoyed these pickles. They're some of my favorite stuff we've ever gotten on the show. So we have our final Tony Paco's Pickles and Peppers. This is the Sweet Hots. Which sounds like somebody saying sweethearts.
Sweethearts. I'm sure that's why, and that's what it's supposed to sound like, because that's what the picture kind of implies, especially if you're from Toledo.
Yeah.
The thing about this, I love the fact that they sent us these, and I have no regrets that they sent us these, but the amount of refrigerator space, once you open these, you have to refrigerate them.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I've got three of these big jars in my fridge, and I've got to figure out how to consume them with great abandon.
With great haste. With all haste.
With great haste, yes.
I've eaten almost the... Well, I shouldn't say I. We here at the Johnson Clan have eaten nearly the entire first bottle we tried.
Wow, really?
Yeah, okay. We're really into them. We've been putting them on everything. So this one...
Oh, there's a chunk of garlic right here on top.
Oh, now this is interesting.
I'm going to stab that right into a pickle and eat it.
It says sweethearts, but I think that we're back to the... This flavor smells like dill to me.
Oh, it does smell.
It does. It smells like sweet dill.
Yeah, sweet dill. Maybe that's a different thing.
Yeah. He's my favorite member of the Angry Chicken.
Sweet dill? Yeah, I know. He's really got the meta game down.
But when he falls asleep.
Yeah. He hasn't done that in a while, I don't think.
Sleepy dill.
Those are good days. Sleepy dills. All right. Here goes. I'm going to eat it.
These are so thick.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Favorite of the three.
Yep. It's sweet, but
It does pack a little heat on the end there. Holy cow.
Yeah, Daryl, you'll like that. That's really good, dude.
God, I wish I had somebody to bring me coffee. I'm out of coffee.
Oh. Where's Tina? She's probably working.
This might be my favorite.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I really like that first bat. Actually, I've liked them all for various reasons, but this is my favorite. Yeah,
I was worried about the hots. It's not that hot.
No, it's got a little kick at the end, but it's nothing too bad.
Yeah.
They're subtle, and they're freaking great, and way to go, man. I mean, who knew that a MASH connection would turn into one of my favorite things we've ever gotten on the show? That was really good. What is his name again? Is it Matthew? Michael?
Oh, it's...
I have it here somewhere.
Tony Richards.
I wasn't even close. Yeah, Tony Richards, big, big thanks to Tony. That was really great. And it adheres to the rule of what we generally like on here.
Yeah.
Stuff regional. We can't get somewhere else, you know? Or, you know, if we did, we didn't know it or whatever. So,
now you guys did get something. You have something else for tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, we got a box from, I haven't opened it yet, but I got a box that says eat me on the side of it. I can't tell if they're just trying to be rude to me or if there's something to eat.
Eat me! Eat me! It's full of potatoes. No, this is, I'll talk about them tomorrow, but hugely grateful for what they sent.
Ooh, really? Okay.
Because I get a couple things you guys didn't get just because of an interest that I've talked about on the show. So.
Oh, right. The horse porn problem you have.
Why do we have to call it a problem?
Well, that's okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be a little more PC these days. Let me call it.
They sent me some Dice Master stuff, which is awesome.
You're an enthusiast. Let's put it that way.
I'm a horse porn enthusiast. A collector.
A collector of horse porn. All right, Daryl, what are we doing here? Let's get to you and your telling us of the thing. Hold on. Gosh dang it. Freaking there it is.
Hey.
Tell us about today in Star Trek history.
Well, back on this day in 1987, it was the eighth and final day of filming on the TNG episode Hide and Cube.
Remind me, what was the deal there?
That is the one with...
I'm going to assume Q was in it, right? Q's in there?
Yeah, the Q episode with the... No, it didn't have that. What am I thinking? It had Q.
Well, I'm glad we marked this notable occasion where it had Q in it.
They play a game with Q, and Wesley gets stabbed, and the thing sticks out of his stomach.
Oh! I remember that now.
And the vicious animal things. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. That one's all right, I think.
It's one of the first ones.
Yeah, one of the early ones, but I liked it. One of the first Q ones. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to season three. Didn't Q had a thing in every season, didn't he? Wasn't that the deal?
He had to have. Yeah, there couldn't have been a Q-less season.
I think there were maybe a few Q episodes per season. Maybe one or two seasons had multiples, but I'm pretty sure every season had at least one Q moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know season seven did because All Good Things was all up in the Q.
Right, and so season one, of course, began with Q.
Yeah, I mean, it was he bookended that series.
Yeah, there could not have been.
Someone can find that out for us. Probably Iceworm. He's a freak. He can do it.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no? Bro, okay.
You're going to say that there was a season that had no Q?
We're going to say yes. Yeah. You're going to say no, and we're going to find out. Someone's going to find out. We'll just do a little sub.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah, this is good. We have contests constantly on this segment. All right. Good job. What the hell are we doing now? Daryl, let's get back to your question. Next Generation, The Lost, that's the episode. This Janet Brooke lady's lost her husband, Deanna Troi, for who knows why has this stuff, and gives her back one of these items. A, a stuffed animal. B, music box. C, framed photograph. Or D, a book.
Oh, let's see. I'm thinking either a book or a music box. She seemed to always be into music boxes for some reason.
Was she? Who? Deanna Troi?
Troi.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You're right. There were other episodes and maybe even a movie that had a connection to a music box. I'm going to agree with you. I don't remember. It's vague to me which ones, but I remember there was some other stuff with music boxes.
Wow, I'm not remembering anything else with music boxes. I'm sure you guys are right, but...
And plus, didn't she always... Part of her Beta Zed crap was she could hear music sometimes that nobody else could hear or something like that.
I think there was an episode where she was hearing something.
Okay.
But it wasn't that she hears music all the time.
It was Riker farting. That's what it was.
That's right.
William.
Which sounds like a trombone.
Bill, she'd call him. Did anyone call him? Did anyone call him Bill ever? Was it always
Bill,
just Will?
Bill Riker?
Yeah. It was never Bill, right? Because his dad was Bill, I think.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
I don't remember. But I never heard the captain go, Bill, get in my ready room. Nude. He never did that. All right. So what do you say there, Darryl?
Wow. Cap Kipper says there's no Q in episode or in season five.
Really?
I
shocks me.
A couple people confirm it. Okay. That's crazy pants.
Wow. All right. Anyway, deliberate.
Oh, let's see. What do I want to say? I want to say it was a book. It was not an animal. It was not a stuffed animal, I don't think.
It was not an animal.
Because then that would have been like Radar's bear or something.
Yeah.
That's not really a reason to disqualify it. No, but I will anyway.
I told you guys I watched that spinoff, the Radar spinoff.
Oh, really? Yeah. So the whole episode is on the thing?
It's on YouTube. It's called Walter, and it's separate. All the name, the letters are separated with asterisks, just like the MASH logo. So it's like Walter with all the little,
right. And it's like it stands for anything.
Yeah, and it's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Horrifically bad. I don't know what they were thinking. It had potential because I think it's he played the character just like he always did, and it's Radar, but everybody sucks in it. Ugh.
Like bad ensemble kind of thing?
Yeah, real bad. Like there's absolutely no question in my mind why that did not make it the full series. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Same for Aftermath. I don't know why they even made it.
After, because everyone banks in on, everybody wants to keep banking in on things. I recapture the magic. It's like, we were talking about this with Jury. Like, your first book is sometimes your best book, and everything you make after that's never as good. Like, it's one of those deals. Like, you can't just keep making MASH. You struck lightning with a, what is it? You hit lightning with a rod.
Lightning in a bottle.
Lightning. You had lightning in a bottle. You didn't hit lightning with a rod. What am I saying?
two bolts, one stone.
I am becoming my dad. I'm literally becoming my father. Anyway, sorry, Daryl.
Okay. I think I'm going, after having these answers soak in, I think there's a reason that I'm thinking that she's into music boxes. And I should probably just stay with that.
You think so? Okay. Well, I don't, I want you to feel good about your decision.
She's always given music boxes to somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Does she love fish?
I love fish.
All right.
Fish.
Fish. I love fish.
That was for John. John Jagger. So, enjoy.
She is also over 70.
Dude, they're my favorite clips right now. Here's
I'm over 72.
Yeah. All right. So wait, you said book, did you say? What'd you say?
No, I was going to say book, but I think I'll say music box.
Oh, okay, music box. Well, let's find out if you're right. All right. It that? No turning back.
Congratulations.
All right, fine, you got it.
You're a winner.
Troy saved the music box after the funeral. She later presented it to Janet from accounting. Later in this episode, Troy loses her powers and has to rely on logic to solve the problem. Here's a clip of that getting all pissed. So here's people.
How do you people live like this?
We get by pretty well, actually. And so will you, in time.
You have no idea. No idea what this is like. How can you know what it's like to lose something you never had?
I don't claim to.
And yet you're telling me that I'm supposed to get used to it.
If our positions were reversed, what would you tell me?
If our positions were reversed, I wouldn't have been in here treating skinned elbows while you were lying passed out on your office floor. I'd have been there a lot sooner, perhaps in time, to prevent this from ever happening.
Jeez, Louises.
Oh, Lee angry acting.
Wow. I don't remember all that. Do you? I don't remember that.
No.
I think something was wrong with her.
My body.
Her body.
I think camel toe yoga is canceled for tomorrow morning.
They were always hanging out doing that, weren't they? Those two were always doing camel toe yoga. Amazing.
My body.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Troy. That was a fantastic screaming match. Let's tell Daryl congratulations for doing it. He's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now Daryl will shower us with a gift that just keeps on giving, some trivia of his own.
Is this a Star Trek thing or kid-related thing?
I hear coworkers. I love it when I hear coworkers milling around. A kid thing or a Star Trek thing?
Yes.
All right, go.
I'm going to need Katan. You to come in Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take your stapler. Yeah. Sorry, you said Katana? Go ahead. What'd you say?
Katan?
Like Settlers of Catan.
Can we get a spelling on that?
K'TAN.
Yep, I may have answered it. I think that sounds pretty Klingon-y to me. Now, before we jump to conclusions, though, is it possible, Brian, that that's a kid's toy based on some Klingon Star Trek
Maybe
thing?
A Shi'ar kid's toy, or Shi'ar, however it's pronounced. I would say it's Star Trek.
I think it has to be, right? No one puts... The only people that put apostrophes in names like this are Star Trek Klingons and the freaking World of Warcraft bosses that have this. So we're going to say... We'll say Klingon. Or we'll say Star Trek.
Okay. Let's forget the telescope thing. I'll just jump to the answer. It's a sling used by, not Klingons, but mothers to carry their babies.
In Star Trek, though, right?
In real life.
Okay, goodbye. Go talk to Bill.
Really? That's crazy.
Go talk to Bill in purchasing or whatever.
You know, if you would have balked at me asking for a spelling, that would have sealed it being Star Trek. Now that we know, it's like he was like, I'll tell you the spelling. It's K'', bitches.
Yeah, he was pretty free-flowing with wanting to give you that information as well.
Right.
He was right off the bat with it.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It is the news brought to you by...
You probably listen to Tom Merritt and the Daily Tech News Show Monday through Friday, but did you know there's also weekend content? God, he's a machine. Mm. Sure, it's not the intelligent analysis you get on the podcast, but hey, on the weekend, it's okay to put your brain in neutral. If you go to dailytechnewsshow.com, you can read The Weekly Tech Views, a recap of the week's tech stories that's more concerned with getting a laugh than getting at the truth. You can find out how Sony and Twitter want to make uncles look stupid, how the wow feature in Tesla's new SUV might ruin your vacation, and how all tech is, apparently, designed for cats by checking out the current post at dailytechnewsshow.com and clicking on the writing category.
That sounds great.
That is great. I had no idea.
What a cool little supplementary thing. I've heard rumblings of this, but I didn't know it was happening. That's awesome.
He's a machine, that guy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Daily Tech News machine.
There is a group who says the world will end permanently today. It will be annihilated Wednesday, today.
Do we know a time?
Well, no. I'm guessing it hasn't happened yet. I would have heard by now.
I'm really hoping to still go eat my black Whopper at Burger King today, and I'm hoping I can get that in before the world ends.
Well, let me give you some details, and then we'll see if we can predict this further. Okay. While our planet may have survived September's blood moon, it will be permanently destroyed on Wednesday the 7th, that's today, a Christian organization has warned. Now, I would hesitate to call these guys Christians. I have a lot of friends who are Christians, and they're not crazy.
Okay. Of course, no. It's they should be clear, like it's an extremist organization.
Extremists who also like Jesus. All right,
extremists for Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I mean, this is their name. It's the E Bible Fellowship. So maybe the E stands for extremist.
The Fellowship of the E Bible.
The E Bible. So it's electronic Bible.
The one
Bible.
True E Bible.
Would it be fun to live a month, 30 days? Like, you know, Morgan Spurlock style, live 30 days on nothing but services that have E in them. So I only do financial stuff on E-Trade. I only use email.
Right, eBay.
eBay.
Too bad Apple doesn't have eWorld anymore.
Oh, I know. I'd be screwed on all my device stuff that I have that are Apple things. Maybe
everything's
I'd have to use what's another one?
Where do you get eBooks? What's an eBook?
Oh, like, eBook. You could
is
get that
the
on
Nook
your...
considered an eBook or the Kindle?
Kindle and the Nooks are eBook readers. Okay. So I think those you could get away with that.
All right.
What else is there in the E?
You could watch E television.
Oh yeah, E television. Mm-hmm. E. You mean?
That's the one.
Can't think of any other E's. Chat room will think it's more E's. Anyway, the E-Bible Fellowship, an online affiliation headquartered near Philadelphia, has based its prediction on an October obliteration. Of October obliteration on a previous claim that the world was supposed to end on May 21st, 2011, if you may recall, Brian. That was a big talk back then, you and I.
Right.
We went over that a lot. That was
wrong. But no. This time.
Yeah. No interviews. No interview. Do I still have that? I do. This is a clip from that time.
No interviews. No interviews.
Yeah, it's a guy at the door who wouldn't talk to anybody.
Camping?
He died. Camping. Harold Camping. Yeah. Oh my gosh, 2011. Where have you gone?
Wow. Why this should really be called the Bible E-Fellowship, right? Because it's not the Bible that's electronic, it's the fellowship that's electronic.
Yeah, I would say the Bible E-Fellowship, yeah.
Yeah.
Or just the maybe there's E-Bible Fellowship is more of the single term, I guess.
So yeah, but they've grouped they put E with Bible and a space.
Yeah, and not even
the Fellowship of the E-Bible. It doesn't. It's not right. It's wrong.
You'll have my axe. All right. According to,
I guess that isn't the biggest problem these guys have.
they say they're confident they have both a date and time. It says here, quote, according to the Bible, according to what the Bible is presenting, it does appear that the 7th of October will be the day that God's spoken of in which the world will pass away. Says Chris McCann, the leader and founder of the Fellowship, an online gathering of Christians headquartered in Philadelphia. Quote, it will be gone forever, period. Annihilated, period, unquote. That's some hyperbole talk right there. McCain said that according to his interpretation of the Bible, the world will be obliterated with fire, specifically. The blood moon, the lunar eclipse combined with supermoon, occurred without event on the 27th of September. Really? Really it did? Did it really?
It occurred without event?
Shit.
Twitter certainly didn't make it seem like it was a non-event.
Nope, seemed like it happened a lot. Anyway, this was despite some predictions that it would herald the beginning of the apocalypse. Certain religious leaders have said that the blood moon would trigger a chain of events that would see our planet destroyed in as little as 7 years' time. So when it doesn't happen today, I would really very much like to hear what Chris McCann says. Mm-hmm. Because listen to me right now, I just want to make a prediction. It's not going to happen today. I'm 100% sure of it.
Yes.
Ugh, I hate these things. Why do you have to be apocalyptic in your thinking, people? Why do you have to do that?
And you know what? If it does happen, I'll apologize. I'll say, you know what, Chris McCann, you were right. I'm sorry we gave you so much crap.
You know his name will be if it happens? Crispy McCann.
Crispy McCann. Well done. Well done, sir.
Because it's by fire, Brian.
Yes, yes.
I got another good one for you. How about we put the fire out with Back to the Future's Pepsi Perfect?
It'll be very expensive to do so.
It will be. It is coming out, actually. So that the Pepsi Perfect you saw in the old Back to the Future 2 is being literally manufactured by Pepsi now to celebrate the fact that this is the year and time
I love the fact that, who is it? Acura that did the hoverboard or Lexus? Lexus did the hoverboard, right?
Yep.
And did anything happen? I remember there was talk about the self-filling pump shoes.
Oh, right. That may have been a thing. It's funny because as future predicting movies go, I think mm-hmm. Back to the Future kind of was one of the worst. It didn't do a very good job.
Yes. But it's funny that people created things that they normally probably wouldn't have created because of these predictions of Back to the Future. I mean, the hoverboard isn't something that, that's something cool that we would always want regardless of Back to the Future too. Yeah. But Pepsi Perfect in this kind of long Voss expensive bottle mm-hmm. and Jaws 19. You saw the trailer that Spielberg's son did for that.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
So all this stuff that's getting created because of Back to the Future, I love.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And this is the year, so why not do it now? So Pepsi's going to release 6,500 limited edition bottles of the Pepsi Perfect online only. It's the only place you can get it. This is what Marty orders at the Cafe 80s in the Back to the Future Part 2. And a real-life version will measure 16.9 ounces and come in a special collectible case, according to the AV Club. The bottles will cost $20.15 because, duh. And because for purchasing the bottles, it will be made available via Pepsi's social media feeds. Maybe they should do some good in the world. Do like a charity with this or something.
That's right, yeah. Have the money go to save the clock tower.
Yeah.
Save the clock tower.
Oh, that woman. Let's see. I'll give you one more here.
Okay.
Researchers say more people die in masculine-named hurricanes than feminine ones because of implicit sexism.
Okay, do tell. Explain this.
So this is kind of interesting.
Science me up this bitch.
Here you go. Sexism isn't just for human women anymore. That dishonor extends to hurricanes as well. Researchers have found that more people died in feminine-named storms because they don't take them as seriously. According to the Washington Post, researchers at the University of Illinois and Arizona State University, that's ASU for those who hate football, concluded that feminine-named hurricanes saw nearly double the number of casualties. So that's double. These numbers come from examining the death rates during hurricanes between 1950 and 2012. That includes Katrina and Audrey. Oh, they didn't include that. Katrina and Audrey are excluded. Yeah. That's interesting. So the study was published.
Without those, it was double the number of casualties.
Think of that. So I'm not, interesting results, right?
Right.
Interpretation of the results are probably all over the map, but I'm very curious about that.
But the headline is completely the opposite. Researchers say more people die in masculine-named hurricanes than feminine ones.
Oh, yeah, that headline is wrong.
Yet the science says exactly the opposite.
Yeah, what?
So UKcomplex.com. Quit trying to be so complex and
just give us the headline that matches the article. How about
that? Right. Read the article, then come up with the headline.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Female hurricane were not as willing to seek shelter. Yeah. They've got this. The headline is swapped.
Right.
With what the meaning of the article is. Okay. Right. All right. So it's the other way around. If you are in a female hurricane, if you're in a hurricane that has a vagina, then you are more likely in this study
to die
because you didn't take it as seriously because her name is, Brenda. Hurricane Brenda. And you're like, Brenda. My eyes dated her
Brenda. Hurricane Carol.
Yeah. Hurricane Carol.
Watch out. Here comes Hurricane Carol.
That'll do it for the news today. This episode of TMS is brought to you by Casper. We love Casper. I own one of their mattresses. I freaking love them. They're an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of what you're paying now. They're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you. There's two technologies at play here, latex and memory foam. I have one. I love it. How do I know I love it? They gave me a 100-day risk-free trial. I could send it back anytime I wanted. Got it online. They sent it directly to my door. I set it up. And I said, I may send this back if I don't like it, but I ended up loving it and I kept it, and so can you. Again, that's 100 days, absolutely free. Not some showroom, not some bed a million other people have been on, your own, and you get to try it out. They're all made in the USA. Go get one now, save some money. Additional $50 off if you go to casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code morningstream. That's casper.com/morningstream and the promo code morningstream. When we come back from the show or from this break here, though, we're going to have a conversation, and that conversation will deal with recommendals. Nicole's still on maternity leave.
Right.
We're going to take care of it for her. So we'll be back to do that in a minute. After that, Tom's Tech Time, and we got an email or two to round things up. Before all of that, Brian brought a little package. He's going to unwrap it, and inside will be musical delights.
Correctamundo. So Vito Sestito.
Oh, you want me? That name. Yeah, you want me? I should rub him out, boss? Jeez. That's great.
Wrote in and said, dear Poop Jokes and Brian, 20 years ago, I married the greatest thing that New Zealand has ever produced. As an Aussie, I consider myself to be the luckiest person having the love and respect of this most beautiful Kiwi. To celebrate this momentous occasion, I would like to request a song by or of the second greatest thing that New Zealand has ever produced, Neil Finn. Say hello to the turtle head for me. Signed, Vito. You are right on the money, by the way, Vito. Neil Finn is, well, in my opinion, obviously you've got it sort of a tainted view there, the greatest thing that New Zealand has ever produced. Big fan.
Big fan.
Crowded House, Split Ends.
Oh, yeah.
All the solo stuff.
New Zealand is such a strange place. It's a small place by many standards, like in terms of population and stuff. But the talent and the content and the things that come out of there, and it's a beautiful
place. Jackson and...
you guys are the bomb.
All the Lord of the Rings stuff. All right. So in 1998, Neil Finn released a single that was a tribute to raise money, I wanted to say, for the blind. And I hope that's... That might be wrong about that. I'd need to relook at that CD. It's tucked way in the corners of the media room. But he recorded this cover of the Johnny Nash song, I Can See Clearly Now. Maybe it was for cataract surgery. I don't know. I don't know what the what the charity was. I'll look it up. How's that?
All right.
I Can See Clearly Now, originally by Johnny Nash, covered here on a 1998 single by Neil Finn.
All right, here it is. We'll see you guys in a sec.
See clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone, and all of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is the rainbow I've been praying for.
Strawberry shortcake in a floppy hat. Your strawberry shortcake with Custer the cat.
Let's play pet show. Strawberry shortcake and Custer can be the judges.
Each doll with pets sold separately.
I'm blueberry muffin with cheesecake.
I'm raspberry tart with rhubarb.
I'm apple dumpling with tea time turtle.
You're all so cute and smell so nice. Everybody wins.
Meow.
Strawberry shortcake with custard, raspberry tart with rhubarb, apple dumpling with tea time turtle, and blueberry muffin with cheesecake, and sold separately. They're from Kenner.
Some people call them sprinkles. Some people call them jimmies. I call them delicious.
The Morning Stream. No dicks here.
Okay, we're back. That was a lovely rendition. That made me want to go outside and walk the dog and smile at my neighbor. And say, thanks for the potato, jackass. I wouldn't really do that. We're back. Hello, everyone. We're back. Welcome back. Brian, we have a fiduciary agreement with Nicole to carry on, even though she is currently on maternity leave from the Morning Stream duties as a recommendal host.
It's what she would have wanted.
It really is. I mean, if we could talk to her now, we'd be able to hear her say that it's the way to go. She's with us. She's fine. She's doing great. Baby's doing great.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's great. We kid around. We kid. Check this out. This is the theme we use because that's what we do. It is hooray for Hollywood, and that means hooray for recommendals. For us, it's a chance to talk about stuff streaming that we like. And I think we'll start with Brian this time.
Okay. All right.
You've sent me a link, and I have already forgotten what it was, so I'm actually kind of
excited. Oh, good. Well, when you hit play on it, unless you just extracted the audio.
I didn't, but I'm just going to look, okay?
So, yeah, because you'll see as soon as you hit play.
I'm going to cover my eyes so I don't know.
Oh, wow.
So here we go. It's playing. Let me turn it off.
When we were 9, they started testing us. They called it the pre-crime program.
Oh, I know what this is.
We were seeing every murder days before they happened. The government codenamed us the Precognitives. It took hundreds of killers off the streets and saved thousands of lives.
Yeah, you don't need to anymore.
We never had the chance to grow up until it ended. Pre-crime was abolished.
This takes place 10 years after the film in 2064. All right,
okay, so there's your... Get out of there. Okay, so... Clearly, that is Minority Report.
Clearly, it is, yes.
And I have been dying to know if this is any good because I'm hearing reports all over the freaking map about whether it's good or not.
It's pretty good. I wouldn't call it anywhere near like fringe level good, but I'd say it's better than, was it Almost Human? What was the one with the buddy cop thing?
Oh, with the robot.
It was last fall. That didn't last very long.
Captain Kirk or Dr. McCoy was in it.
Right. Yes. Almost Human? Why am I thinking that was Almost Human? But Almost Human? Something
you might
like
be right.
That.
You might be right. Yeah, that didn't last very long, did it?
No, it didn't. It's a continuation of the movie with Tom Cruise. It picks up 11 years after what happens in the movie Minority Report, basically where they take the three precogs and they hide them away in a cabin. To be left alone by the pre-crime unit, which has been dismantled and all that stuff.
Do they still have puke sticks? Or poke a guy?
I haven't seen puke sticks yet.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully a whole episode where they reintroduce the puke stick.
Right. Yeah. But it's good. It's like I said, it's not fringe level. And so far, nothing has really risen to the top. My first choice, actually, to talk about would have been Limitless, because I like that more than Minority Report. I think Limitless, the series, also based on a movie.
Is that the one where there was the movie with Andrew or
Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper, and he literally showed up in the first episode and passed the baton, basically?
Pretty much, yep, exactly.
Now, Tom Cruise didn't do any of that in this, right?
There's no Tom Cruise business. There's as far as I can tell, I haven't seen anybody who was reprising their role from the original movie.
That's too bad. That could have been a cool opportunity.
It could have. And, you know, they could have gotten, three-name dude that worked in the jail, who's in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Tim Blake Nelson, yeah.
They could have gotten him I think he would have done it. I feel like he's the kind of guy who would like, yeah, I'll show up for an episode, sure. Yeah. Oh my God, they loved him and turned him into a toad.
I thought you was a toad.
Anyway.
Every time I talk to you, I just want to watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou again.
I know, right?
Yeah,
so it's got... Megan Good, who's awesome. Stark Sands plays Dashiell, who's the one of the precogs that has kind of left the cabin, left the safety of the cabin, because he wants to, he still sees these crimes and wants to do something about it. He's tired of just seeing them happen and not being able to do anything about
and
it.
And he's so one of the precog dudes, because there were three of them, right? There was the girl, right, and then the two dudes. The two dudes you really never got to see much from, and that's the idea here, is that now one,
right,
of the dudes,
exactly,
is front and center. Okay.
Yep. Arthur and Agatha and Dashiell. And the twins were Dashiell and Arthur.
Okay. Interesting. And they are,
it's not bad.
Are they twins in the show? Are they played by twins? Or
No, they're played by two different people. Who two different actors that they got that kind of look similar enough to maybe say, okay, I guess with the right external conditions, these guys are brothers. They're twins.
Maybe they're fraternal twins or something.
Right, like exactly. Yeah. The weirdest bit of casting, and maybe it just hasn't grown on me, is Wilmer Valderrama from that 70s show.
Mm. Oh, he played Gomez or whatever his name was.
Like, right.
Beck Gomez.
Right, yes.
Right, the Latino character.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he's coming off kind of like a smooth, smarmy, I don't know. His character is feeling two-dimensional so far. Mm. So I'm hoping that they do a little bit more to kind of flesh him out a little bit. But but Megan Good is really good.
Is really good. Okay.
And Stark Sands, it's all right.
Okay. It's not. But you're saying it's not hot garbage like someone on Facebook told me today.
It's not hot garbage.
Okay.
I'd say if Limitless was streaming, I looked for it on Hulu first because that's the one I really wanted to recommend. If you can find a way to see Limitless, that one I'd say is the best done of all of the new fall shows. One other quick recommendation, kind of trumping all of these.
Yeah.
I'd say the best new fall show is Life in Pieces.
Oh,
it's a 30-minute sitcom. Has a lot of the same kind of feel as Modern Family.
Okay.
But it is fantastic. It's got Tom Hanks' son, Colin Hanks.
Colin
is that
Hanks,
right?
Yeah, I love Colin Hanks. He's great.
It's got Betsy Brand from Breaking Bad.
Oh, here's Betsy a photo.
Betsy Brand? Or am I thinking of, is that the Spider-Man character?
Hold on, I'm looking it up.
It is Brand.
Betsy Brandt. Oh, yeah. This is the sister, or the wife to Hank. Hank's wife.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, no, she's awesome. I love
her. She is awesome.
At the old guy from everything. I can't think of his name. He's a big-time actor. Been around forever.
Yes, couldn't place it either.
Oh, he's been around forever. He's a lot of old action stuff and westerns, and his son's famous or something.
I'm pulling it up here because I've been trying to figure out who the hell he is. James Brolin. Yes,
James
of course.
Brolin. Yeah, Josh Brolin's dad. That's
yes,
it.
Diane Wiest.
She's great.
Keegan? No, is it Peele? It's Peele is going to be in a few episodes. He's kind of like a secondary character.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if there was going to be anybody but starkly white people in this, but sounds like there is.
There's one. Yeah.
Is that what's his name from? Nope, it's not. Never mind. I thought I saw Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Justin Robert Young.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not.
No, Thomas Sadowski is who you might be thinking of, and he is. He was in The Newsroom.
Yeah.
That might be who you're thinking
of. This looks great. I want to see this.
Yeah, Life in Pieces. So if you're going to watch one show from the new season of anything,
okay,
that's what you need to watch. If you can watch two, I'd say add Limitless to it, and anything beyond that. Minority Report. You can't. It's too early to tell if it's doing well. We're also enjoying Blind Spot, the tattooed Jamie Alexander.
Oh, right.
Tattooed Lady Sif from the Thor movies.
Yeah. I know her. That's exciting.
So that's pretty good too, and we'll see which ones of these actually shake out.
Too early to say. You're saying
too early to say, but I can definitively call Life in Pieces the winner.
Okay, so too early to call that, and or the others, and
hey, too early to get a fish sandwich.
Too early to get a fish sandwich.
Is it too early to get a Black Whopper?
Hey, have you done that yet? You haven't done that yet.
Today for lunch.
Oh, Brian, I'm so excited. Tomorrow we'll have a good story to tell.
And some green poop to tell you about.
I can't wait.
I won't take pictures.
No, please don't. People are doing that, though. There's a Reddit thread that's nothing but that.
But if I did, it would probably look like the Hulk and the Abomination fighting.
Oh, good. I was hoping it would look...
That's what it would look like in the toilet.
It would look more like a symbiote, Spider-Man style. Trying to get you.
Right.
All right, here's my clip. You see if you can figure this out. This is so dumb. I'm even doing this, but here it is. See if you can guess.
Commander, wait! There's something concealed under the surface!
Gosh, I think I
know. What are you doing there? This is private property.
This is private property.
All right.
That sounded an awful lot like Geordi LaForge at the beginning there.
Well, you'd be correct. All right, so I have been rewatching TNG, and I know that sounds redundant because we talk about it on the show all the time. Sure. We have a whole segment devoted to trivia about Star Trek and its surrounding series and everything else. But I just have to make this point. It's old as hell, and just when you start to think in your head, yeah, it's probably starting to hold up less than it used to, or the stories are less relevant, or the questions they ask are less interesting. You're not wrong. I mean, you're not right. It's very relevant, and they still ask very interesting questions. And sure, sometimes it's cheesily handled or acted, or the sets are weird.
Morals and
sure, and they're still sort of terrible with kid issues. Like, but the questions they ask are super interesting, and that particular episode made me decide to do this for Recommendals because there's a lot to cheese about it, but it's asked this really one important question about. If you're an interstellar creature or being that can destroy 50 billion lives with a single thought, would you? Because or would you find some kind of humanity in that you would find some kind of restraint and not do that because you're a peaceable thing, even though you have that power? Like, what would you do with that power? And if you accidentally yielded that power, well, then what would you do? Like,
sure.
They ask these really hard questions, and I forget that Star Trek does that really well when it's at its best. So, you know, as much Star Trek as we talk about, this is real rubber meets the road for me. I'm rewatching these episodes and going, holy shit, that was awesome what you did there, Picard, or that thing you asked, or that quandary that humans don't think of very often unless we can give it this sci-fi backdrop and play with it, you know? It was just awesome.
Cool.
So it holds up and you should watch it. And I started with season 3, so I skipped 1 and 2 because yeah, they're fine. There's stuff to like in 1 and 2, obviously, but 3 is where the meat really starts
to cook. Sure. That's where they really found their footing. And
yeah, there's no question. So those are our recommendals this week. Do check them out. And we hope that Nicole is doing well. It's Tom Maritime.
Sure. We just chatted with her. She's doing all right.
Yeah, we talked to her via text message today.
Whoa. SMS.
I know, and it's impressive.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is a post-Microsoft event, Tom Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
Tom
Merritt. Is that what we're talking about?
I don't know if that's what we're talking about. I was pretty impressed.
Surface Book with the crazy hinge.
I do want
to talk about that, actually.
I was actually pretty impressed with that stuff yesterday, most of it. Yeah, it's got me back on the hook for trying to see how that pen and that tablet or that Surface Pro would be a good alternative for my portable drawing needs.
Right. Now, would you lean towards Surface Pro 4 or Surface Book with that detachable thing? Because they both get the pen.
Probably the Pro, I can go bigger, though, right?
Yeah, the Pro has is bigger.
Yep. And that's bigger the main screen. That's a main thing for me. Although, for sure. I mean, I very much have my eye on the iPad, and I want to see a comparison. I've seen a lot of like some artist stuff where people have gotten hands-on at Ars Technica and a few other people with the iPad Pro, and it looks like a very strong contender for what I want.
Wait, well, hold on. Surface Book is a 13.5-inch laptop. Surface Pro is a 12.3-inch screen.
Oh,
really? I thought the Surface Pro had a bigger screen.
Yeah, I had it backwards, too. Okay, well, that's interesting.
Well, none of it matters anyway, because I hate everything that's not Apple, so I won't even consider that there's any sort of technology that compares.
I'm already getting the email.
Yeah. Really? I can feel it now. I can feel my inbox.
There's this weird halo effect. Like, whoever I happen to have on my show, whatever opinion they express, mm-hmm. I get accused of. Yeah.
You don't have one of those disclaimers that says the views expressed by guests of Daily Tech News Show don't reflect...
No, I know this feeling exactly. We get it on here all the time. All I have to say is the name Donald Trump, and I will get emails immediately saying that I'm supporting him and that I hate him at the same time. So
he's
good.
Scott should can just be Voldemort. Playing bridge, and he'll say, I call Trump, and then
then I'm screwed.
We'll just call him from now on the reality show host / presidential candidate who shall not be named.
Hotel mogul.
Yes, that sounds perfect.
/ hotel mogul.
So, we don't necessarily have to talk about that stuff, but I just thought it was a good conference.
No, I think it's great. I love that stuff.
It was one of the better, I don't even know what it is I'm trying to express about it. It just felt good.
Well, I think what it is you expect less, right? And for whether that's justified or not, when Apple makes an announcement, it's always disappointing because the expectations run ridiculously high. And you there sitting at home may say, I don't have expectations. I think Apple is overrated. And you're right. But go look out on the internet. Everybody else is like clamoring and slobbering and like, oh my gosh, it's an Apple announcement. Mm-hmm. And they can't help but disappoint people.
Yeah.
Google makes an announcement. It's kind of both. There's, you know, there's a lot of real big Google and Android fans out there. And then there's other skeptics out there. And for whatever reason, it runs a little more parallel. Whereas Microsoft for years has been like, oh, Microsoft, old, hated, Windows, monopolies, Ballmer, ah. And now Satya Nadella has sort of slowly turned the tide of opinion so that Microsoft has an announcement. Everyone's like, oh, they're having an announcement. It's really early in the morning on the West Coast. What's up with that? And then whatever they announce, people are like, oh, well, that's interesting. And I think what's telling about that is the Lumia phones, which are very nice, were the least exciting part of that announcement. And usually it's the phones, right? For Google, it was the Nexus phones. For Apple, obviously, it's the iPhone. The Lumia phones were like, oh, okay, those are really nice phones, but everybody's really excited about the Surface Pro 4 and the Surface Book, especially.
Yeah, the Surface Book, now that you've corrected me on the size thing, that one is very attractive to me. I just, you know, the main thing for me, like everyone keeps asking me, what are you looking for this stuff, this particular line of things? And I'm looking for art capability. That's really it. So it's all about anti-latency. It's all about pressure sensitivity. What they showed and what they talked about looked really attractive. So I'm squarely in the camp of I need to hear more
so
I can make
a
decision.
Disconnect from the bottom half keyboard and then just flip around, or no? It's hinged, so it.
No, it can also flip around. Okay. You disconnect the Surface or in the Surface. Yeah, I guess it's the Surface. You disconnect the screen. And then the difference between this and the Surface Pro is that the Surface Book has two graphics cards, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's got a graphics card in the keyboard, which is an NVIDIA GeForce, I think. It's a GeForce GDDR5 memory. So that it can do a lot more graphics processing. But when you pull the screen out, then it switches to the Skylake integrated GPU. So it can still do graphics without being connected to that GeForce.
But we're still talking about actual Windows 10 here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
Windows 10 actual.
They have got
no tablet version of
Windows 10 actual.
Fire up the FTLs.
Fire up the FTLs and get us out of here. But okay, that's really good to note as well, because I came away, I haven't combed it, but I felt like, well, are we sure this is like Windows? And I guess that's the point. They don't want to not have Windows on everything now. That's the
goal. The only confusing part still is Windows 10 for phones,
right,
is not the same as Windows 10 for Intel. But Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book both have Intel processors, so you're getting Windows 10. The other thing that we didn't talk about on DTNS yesterday, and I think it deserves a little more attention, it's a little bit of a whiz-bang demo thing, and I try to avoid those, but Continuum, which is the part of Windows 10 that lets you make your session portable across devices and adapt to whatever screen is attached, is available on these new Lumia phones. And they showed this great thing where you plug a Lumia phone into a keyboard and a screen and a mouse, and suddenly you're using Windows 10. The thing is, it's not exactly Windows 10 because it's Windows 10 on the phone, but it looks and acts a lot like Windows 10. And it's certainly an impressive demo. I would like to see how well it works in person.
Yeah.
But pretty cool to think like, oh, I could be working on a Word document on my phone and then go, oh, I just need to do more that I can do with a little touchscreen, plug it into a keyboard, and you're off to the races editing it in full screen office mode.
Yeah, while you've been talking too, I've been looking at a couple other things. They're constantly showing the Surface Book with Photoshop running. It's like they're taunting me.
They want to just show, see, this is what people would want to use this for, with a stylus and with the 1,000 levels of pressure sensitivity. And
yeah, so at 1024 it looks like total. Yeah, they may have me with this. I need to, what did they give a release date for the book?
Pre-orders are already on their way. Shipping for the Pro 4 and the Pro or Surface Book are October 26th.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That quick. Wow.
You know, that's interesting because we're right on the tail, on the heels of that iPad Pro announcement, which doesn't come out till November.
Yeah.
And this you could be cynical and go, well, Microsoft really threw this together in time to, but it seems like everybody was kind of working on something like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice to see that they've got this rad product poised to ship even before that thing does.
I was really interested in the Pixel C
because
it's got that nifty magnetic thing, and I still think that's really cool until I saw the Surface Book, and then I'm like, that's actually more practical, if it isn't as whiz-bang in its magnets.
That may end up being where I go. All right. Well, this is awesome. I'm sure that we'll get to talk about other residuals from that announcement today. And we have a guest today on DTNS, do we not? Who's coming on?
Yeah, Lindsay Gilpin. She is one of the authors on the Follow the Geeks book that Jason Heiner has been writing with her. And Tech Republic reporter. She's written for Forbes. And she is out here in Los Angeles now. So she's going to join us. And I just emailed you. She's got a few ideas for main topics that we can kick around.
Ooh, fantastic.
But yeah, an experienced tech reporter. And Jenny and her have been, you know, cooking up plans. And so I think that's why Jenny's like, we got to get you on DTNS. She's great. She's real smart.
That Jenny antennae reaches far and wide. She gets them in there, man. Well, very exciting. That'll be later today, 2:30 Mountain Time, DTNS Live. I'll be there. Tom will be there and our fabulous guest. Anything else, Tom, going on you'd like to mention?
Well, sure. Lots of things.
It might be a book.
Yeah. Oh, wait, the book is called Citadel 32. covered by Scott Johnson. It's available in bookstores now. TomMerrittBooks.com if you want to check it out. I have to say, this is really exciting to me that so far I've gotten pretty good response to it. People seem to like the story.
Yeah,
I don't know why I sound so surprised, but continuing. So if you're looking for a fun post-apocalyptic, people stranded on the moon, people in a kind of a canticle for Leibowitz-like situation on Earth.
Sure.
Check it out.
If you enjoyed The Martian because he's stuck on the moon or on the Mars, just imagine the moon guy being stuck. Imagine that.
He's not alone.
Oh.
So it's nothing like The Martian.
Well, forget it.
It has no science. He's with a lot of other people. He just happens to be on the moon.
Well, there you have it. Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. TomMerrittBooks.com. We will see you later today.
Thanks, Al.
Bye now.
See ya.
You say thanks, L?
That's what it sounded like. Thanks, Cell?
Thanks, Cell? I think he meant all.
Yeah, maybe.
Even an orator like Tom. Oh, man.
He just didn't want to say bye, guys.
What's the price on this thing?
The Surface Pro.
Yeah, the
Surface
Book
starts at $1,500. And decent configuration, people are saying, is like $3,500. Exactly. That may be.
That may have answered my question.
Maybe an issue, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, though. That's a nice-looking device.
Mm-hmm.
And it also looks like a detaching MacBook. Everyone's doing that aluminum-looking MacBook style.
Right.
That's the way it is. Oh, well. What are you going to do? Anyway, all right. Moving on to a couple emails real quick. We got one here from Josh who says, hey, Scoot and Brain. I just tried asking Google who does Coverville. See if she gets Ibbot right. So we're going to try this.
Okay.
We've been doing this a little bit, so I'm going to say it out loud. Here we go. Who makes Coverville?
Did you say, okay, Google?
No. Okay, Google. Who makes Coverville? It says, first link is CV723 Coverville.
Okay.
That's a Coverville.com link or something. Advertise on Coverville, privacy policy on Coverville.
Huh.
There's not a single...
Say who does Coverville instead of who makes Coverville.
All right, we'll try that. Okay, Google, who does Coverville?
Here is information from Wikipedia.
A 30-minute music podcast featuring cover songs, usually published 3 times a week.
30 minutes.
Licensed with ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC, and then no reference to the Brian Ibbot.
Oh.
That sucks.
Oh, really?
That sucks. Oh, here it is down lower on the article. It says, but you have to click a thing. It says, hosted by Brian Ibbot.
There we go. Ask her who runs Bartertown.
All right. Okay, Google, who runs Bartertown? Oh, here. There's a YouTube link is all I got.
Aw.
With crappy volume.
Yeah.
4, 3, 2.
For God's sake, what now?
Who run Bartertown?
Damn it. I told you no more embargoes.
More blaster.
You know what? I'm going to watch
this.
We need to watch that movie.
For film sack. All right, let me ask Siri.
Okay. Is it working?
Not yet. Oh. There we go. Who runs Bartertown? Oh, it's...
Didn't work.
It's not going to work because I've got my Bluetooth headset on.
Let
Dang
me,
it.
Let me try it.
Okay.
Siri, who runs Bartertown?
Here is what I found.
Result, Master Blaster runs Bartertown. It says,
really?
Yeah.
It's all too right. bad we can't get her to say it.
Yeah, Siri wins on this.
Uh-huh.
Just barely, we'll though. Try. If you give me something.
We'll have to try Alexa later.
Alexa
on.
May say something.
Right.
Alexa. Oh, we're screwing people up at home. All right.
Yeah.
I got a final email from Ryan. Ryan says, I'm listening to TMS on the plane today. An older show, you mentioned that Jury travels the most of any of your friends. Then later on the show, you stated that all of your listeners are your friends. After hearing your comment that all your listeners are your friends, I thought I would write in as one of your listener friends and submit that I, too, travel for work. My work is 100% travel. In a normal week, I fly out on Monday morning and fly home on Friday afternoon or evening. Some weeks, I have to travel to more than one city, so a midweek flight isn't out of the question. So in the little over 6 years I've worked for this company, I've flown over 700,000 miles on Delta, and Delta isn't the only airline I fly. Anyway, I save up TMS shows and then listen to them back to back while I'm working or flying. They put me in the right sleep or put me right to sleep on the plane. That's why I'm behind. I enjoy the show, enjoy the music, keep it up, Ryan. So there you go.
Nice.
I always like hearing what people do.
Yeah, for sure.
For their living. You just sent a thing. Oh, because Nicole did too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was just replying.
Oh, no, that's fine. I had my ringer off, and then I had it on because I was asking Siri a stupid question. Here, let's ask it the dumbest question ever.
All right.
Who hosts the morning stream?
Checking my sources. Okay, I found this on the web for who hosts the morning stream.
Okay, and it says your emails and more on this episode. Oh, that doesn't count. CBS This Morning, Healthway. Jerry co-hosts the morning stream. What? Oh, that was that one day. Yeah, it doesn't say our names either. Yeah, we got to change it. We're bad at our OC. What's it called? Not our OCR.
Our social media, our web presence, yeah, our SEO.
SEO.
Yeah, search engine optimization.
Yeah, we got to get back on that. What is it, 2003? Yeah. All right, that's it. We're done. Thank you so much for being here, everybody. The site is frogpants.com/TMS. I'm waiting to hear back from my sister as to whether or not she'll be here. I'm not sure. Her internet situation is unknown at this point. But she's
she was in the process of moving.
Yeah, and apparently I thought it was to another like remote like farmhouse thing because that's all they could get. But I think it's in the city. So I saw a photo that she took that's like right near a bakery and some other stuff like in Gutenberg or whatever it's called.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine living really close to a Swedish bakery?
Oh, dude. They're going to come home a bunch of fatties.
Get there.
Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. You can find us via voicemail as well, 801-471-0462. And we'll play a bunch of those tomorrow if Wendy is not here. Twitter, you can find us at morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. Frogpants.reddit.com is where our subreddit resides. And like I said before, I'll be on DTNS today at 2:30. And there will be a new Boop show this afternoon. And really close on the book. And... there's other stuff. I can't think of it all. And then there's Coverville. Do that. Tell us what's happening there.
Oh, yeah, Coverville. So in honor of the birthday of Julie Andrews, which birthday you might ask? Well, I will tell you. She's 80.
Wow.
Julie Andrews turned 80 last week. So covers of The Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, and because I need something else to kind of fill out a little bit more of the show, Sam Moore, who's the Sam half of Sam and Dave. So, your Soul Man cover coming up on Coverville today. Soul Man and Mary Poppins and Sound of Music.
Aside from the time I breastfed from my mother, I'm pretty sure that the first time I ever saw anyone else's who was foreign to me chesticles was Julie Andrews in the movie
Victoria.
I think it was SOB, I think.
Oh, SOB. You're right. Yes, yeah. SOB.
Which had, didn't it have?
Richard Mulligan.
Yeah. The JR, is that JR from Dallas? Who am I thinking of?
No, Larry Hagman is JR from Dallas. Yeah. He might have been in there.
He might have been. I have a memory of that. It was the first time I ever saw anything like that. I didn't know what I was seeing.
Movie.
I was a kid.
Yeah, Richard Mulligan was Bert in on Soap.
Oh.
Oh, wow. When you do a search for SOB movie, the one of the first image things you get is topless Julie Andrews. Jeez. Give a guy some warning.
Of course you do. Well, she's 80 now, so
And indeed, Larry Hagman, Rosanna Arquette, William Holden.
Yeah, bunch of people.
Big Blake Edwards business.
Mm-hmm. I think it was supposed to be a comedy. I remember as a kid just being horrified by it. I don't remember liking it or something. Something was wrong with it. Anyway, there's that. That's it. Let's get out of here. Brian, you got music for us to go out on?
I do have music for you to go out on. Okay. Here it is. It's a cover for Josh. Hello, Klot and Fryan. My 23rd birthday was on Saturday, October 3rd. And since you lazies don't do shows 6 days a week, I figured I'd make my request for Monday. Since it's my 23rd birthday, I'd like to request a song by one of Scott's favorite bands. So he requested a cover of What's My Age Again by Blink-182.
Oh, I hate him.
He didn't request, what is it, Adam's song? What's the one that begins with Hello There?
Hello there. I'm hiding in the window. Something, something, something. I don't know even how it goes. I hate it, though.
Right.
Hello there.
We're going to do What's My Age Again anyway. This is a cover by the Space Pimps from the Pacific Ridge Records tribute to Heroes of Pop Punk.
Okay.
I guess I don't know if I would say that Blink-182 qualifies as Heroes of Pop Punk, but whatever.
Yeah. They're in the category. I'd give them that, I guess.
You know what? They're in the category. And you know, I guess you've got your Green Day, you've got your Weezer, you've got your Blink-182. They're heroes of something.
Sure.
Blink-182's What's My Age Again. This cover is great. It's similar to the original, but it adds a little bit of a hard edge to it, which I like. Right. The Space Pimps, What's My Age Again.
All right. And just for fun, this is Brian fake calling me yesterday. Check it out.
Totally fine. ... Sounds good, comma. Happy face, colon. Talk to you later, ! Ha,
I knew, it was fake, but I loved it anyways.
Definitely intentional.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, though. It made me laugh that yesterday. So thanks for that. Here's the call, or here's the thing. Let's play it. What's this? Hold on.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, here it is. Check this out. Wait, will it play?
Hello there.
I am.
What was the second? Kind of SpongeBob thing. I don't know what happened. Anyway, the internet. It's the internet. Yeah. All right, here we go. What's my age again? We'll talk to you guys tomorrow when we'll be just one day older. Bye now.
Yes.
I took her out, it was a Friday night. I walk alone to get the feeling right. We started making out, and she took off her pants before I turned on the TV. And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And I still more appease my TV shows. What the hell is ADD? My friend said I should act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again? I called her mom from a payphone. Said I was the cops and her husband's in jail. Steve looks down on sodomy. And that's about the time that bitch hung up on me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And I still more news by prank phone calls. What the hell is call ID? My friend said I should act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again?
Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
What's so terrible about having sex with animals?
Yeah.